It's show time. Hey, what up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new edition of the Kenny Ho Show, and yet another spooky and scary edition of the show. Now, I could be mistaken, I could bail on this halfway, but I think I figured out how to do a Halloween edition of the show, despite me not really giving a rat's ass about Halloween, but hey man, when in Rome. What does that mean exactly? Like, what do people do in Rome? Was the Roman Empire the people who were, like, into, like, super-duper gay sex? Is that what brought down the Roman Empire? Too much man-loving? I mean, if that's the case, it makes sense. I mean, if you're a grown-ass man and you get ravaged by another grown-ass man, a bear sometimes, you know, I imagine you're not ready for war the next day. I imagine even the bravest of soldiers are like, I would love to fight for my country. I would love to defend Rome against whoever the hell's invading. You know, if I knew my history, I'd probably be doing the exact same thing, because that seems like it's useless shit. I don't want to get way off topic, but, like, have you ever seen, like, on the news or some documentary where they interview, like, these very, very specific and niche historians and archivalists? I'm like, how is that a thing? How are you still alive? Is that a job you have? Is it legitimately a 9-to-5er or whatever the hours are, but like you can get by on it? How am I like living in poverty when this lady here literally has every piece of useless information about like Frank Sinatra's cousin, you know? Like the guy who has the job for archiving and keeping every bit of information anyone could ever want about Frank Sinatra. I get that. That man was a huge superstar back in his day. I don't know if there's a museum, but if there was a museum, I'm not surprised, and I feel like there should be. Now, I'm under no delusions that life is fair, but if somebody's making, like, let's say $100,000 a year chronicalizing the life and times of, like, Steven Sinatra, that's some horse shit. I was almost left disabled just to stay above the poverty line at this rough job I had for a month or whatever. While at the same time, this lame and boring historian was telling, honestly, anyone who would listen, anyone at all, about the time that Steven Sinatra made a lasagna for Thanksgiving. So I guess I take back what I said. I was going to say that, or at least I was going to say, if I knew my Roman history, I wouldn't be doing anything different. I'd still be useless and do a podcast. But honestly, if I knew my Roman history, guaranteed I'd have a podcast that people actually tune into. I'd have money. I'd have stacks of money from the floor all the way to the ceiling, and a riveting podcast about Julius III, you know, engaging in something that has definitely left him in a special, special place in hell. The fabulous part of hell. So if that's the case, You know, when in Rome, don't do what the Romans did. Do the opposite of what the Romans did. While all these dudes are like piling on top of each other, I'm gonna go find me some hot Italian chicks who, despite being like the belle of the ball, can't get herself a date because all the guys are trying out this new crazy gay thing. I mean, people can do what they want to do with their lives, but as far as I'm concerned, when in Rome, nail a hot Italian girl. Never mind his flaming homosexuality. Oh wait, this is the Halloween edition. I need to keep my eyes on the prize, which I've never done in life. If I were smart like that, I mean, I'm sure I would be a failed actor, but an actor nevertheless. What I'm trying to say is if I kept my eyes on the prize, I would definitely be a has-been and a current contestant on Dancing with the Stars. I would have Olivia Jade on this show. Man, that show is so good. It's a show that keeps on giving. In fact, it's the only reason I'm doing a Halloween special this year, because while watching on Monday, when I did the episodes in the morning, but at night I watched the riveting ballroom competition. And even though this season it feels a little gimmicky, because like last week was Grease Week, this week was the Halloween special, next week is like Queen Week, not like Padme Amidala, but like the band Queen. But those are a little gimmicky, but whatever, like Halloween makes sense, it's a theme. And so what they did was all the contestants danced to either a movie or a show of the horror genre. And while JoJo Siwa was doing her dance, which is amazing, by the way. Now, I'm not there, and I hope I never get there to the point where I'm like, well, I say things like, oh my gosh, dance has the power to move you and change you. Listen, I'm not trying to fit in Rome, all right? But a good performance is a good performance. And I was watching JoJo Siwa's performance, and my goodness, it just kept building. It was it was really powerful, and it was really intense, and it just kept getting more powerful and more intense. It just kept building and building and building. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to keel over. I can't take this. And then it had this cool finale, and it was powerful. It changed me. No, but it was really great. It was a perfect performance. It was 10s across the board, and that has to be the best dance I've ever seen. But why? Well, her correlation to all of this is she danced to the movie It, and there's always like a little clip package about, you know, the process of putting together this dance, and they always introduce what they're dancing to. And when they showed the poster or like pictures of It, and it was the clown in the sewer, all that crossed my mind was, that kid's an idiot. That kid's stupid. He deserved to get eaten. Listen, I understand he was young, but was he that young? Honestly, I feel like for me, the cutoff to stupidity of this level and this magnitude of not being afraid of a clown is between the time you come out of the womb and about 6 to 8 months old. Anything after that, any time after that, your cognitive abilities need to be at the point where you're just like, oh my goodness, clown, Diablo, and you make a insert name here shaped hole in the wall. I'm telling you, it's instinct. How old was that kid? I don't even care how old he was. I don't even give a shit if he's like 4 and like still crapped his pants here and there and such. It's instinct. In fact, that's just it. You see a clown, you're supposed to crap your pants. I don't give a shit. Never mind that he was in the sewer, right? That's also red flags, alarms, all that shit should be going off. But no, even I'm telling you, even as a grown man, I see a clown just walking down the street, I'm gone. Especially if it's raining. Raining, a little fog in the air, I am so gone. Like, I'm not athletic at all, but I'm gonna look like Speedy Gonzalez running down the street in the opposite way of this clown. I feel like this dumb child would have seen clown and be like, oh my gosh, Bozo, you make me so happy. Let me run towards you. He deserved to get eaten. He was weak and stupid. You see anyone that's hanging out in a sewer that's not a giant mutant ninja turtle or like a sewer worker? Do not engage. I don't even care if it's Splinter. I'm like, listen, you could be Splinter or just a giant rabies infested rat. I can't take a chance. I'm going home. I know I might be four. I know I look gullible. I know I look stupid, but I'm from the hood. You ain't eating me today, foo. Now, of course, not all of that crossed my mind, but the first part did. The part about this kid is stupid. He's walking towards a clown, a scary-ass clown. Like, oh my goodness, right? That's like the dead giveaway. Like, this guy looks like he's deranged. It's definitely not like Krusty the Clown. Like, you see Krusty, worst thing that's gonna happen is he's gonna, like, spit some real shit, you know? He's gonna let you know how tough real life is. This Pennywise son of a gun definitely looks like he eats kids. I mean, he looks like he does other things to kids too, but let's not get into that. This is a family-friendly show. Manson family, I suppose, but a family show nevertheless. But from that, I'm like, oh, I guess that's how I'll do the show this year. There is a way to do this. There are things to talk about. Especially because as the night went along, like, it is definitely a horror movie, but there was a couple examples where I'm like, oh, that's considered horror? Because I'm not into horror at all. Whores and horror, neither one work for me. Lindsay Lohan and Hellraiser, I don't mess with either one of those things. But when one of the dances was based on Vampire Diaries, I'm like, oh, I watched the shit out of that show. It's not horror. It really isn't. Like Supernatural, early on, definitely, and whenever they decided to get back to their like monster hunting roots, it's a horror TV show. But Vampire Diaries? No way, Jose. It's definitely just a teen soap opera with vampires in it. But the way I looked at it, mostly because I'm just grasping at straws here to put together a Halloween episode, I'm like, well, if it's good enough for Dancing with the Stars, it's good enough for the old Kenny Ho show. It appears I have seen horror shows and movies. And if a Peloton instructor can be considered a star, well, why can't I talk about these movies and this theme like I actually know a thing or two about it? Now, before we continue, what's your favorite horror movie? Ah, yes. We definitely do not have the same horror movie, considering the fact I don't have a favorite horror movie. That shit scared me and scarred me as a kid. I don't understand why I watched, or that my parents let me watch Dracula as much as they let me watch it. Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman. I've seen that movie almost as many times as I've seen The Princess Diaries. Well, probably not that many times. I've not seen anything as much as I've seen The Princess Diaries. I've seen that movie like maybe 500 times. No lie, not embellishing. Once upon a time, I could even recite, not every single scene, every single word verbatim, but close. But that Dracula movie, I would not be surprised if I seen that movie like, you know, maybe 50 times, you know, 10% or whatever. I don't know that I'd call it my favorite, but certainly it'd be the closest thing to a favorite. Like, I'm pretty indifferent with it. I neither love it nor hate it. It's kind of like if you go to, like, just some random diner and you order their fries and it's neither good nor horrible. They're fries. I'll eat them. Whereas Princess Diaries, well, that's like McCain Cajun curly fries. Mm-mm, good. As the night went on, they had a dance to Cujo. I've seen parts of Cujo. One of my favorite goaltenders growing up was Curtis Joseph Cujo, but the rabies-infested dog horror movie, never seen it. But with that being said, without ever really having seen it, it's definitely a great premise for a horror movie. Because, listen, not every horror movie needs to feature, like, ghosts and, like, poltergeists and, like, vampires and whatnot. A big old dog. You know, I love doggos, but I don't love all doggos. There are some dogs that were bred to kill, and I don't want any part of those dogs. There are twisted jabronis on this world. Posers, usually. You know, they think they're like gangsters or something, but they're losers who are like damaged on the inside, so they, you know, raise their dogs to be douchebags like them, to do their dirty work, because they're too much of a coward to fight their own battles, you know the type. But with that being said, it's unfortunate for that dog to be in that type of situation, but, you know, life's a bitch and then you die, even if you're a dog. Not everybody gets a nice home. Not everybody can meet an old Kenny who does not care for people, but loves a good doggo. I'm both too poor and have not enough space to have a doggo. But if I were a man of wealth and lived in a nice big home, you bet your ass I have two or three. Isn't Cujo a dog with rabies? I mean, if that's the case, it's a bit of a stretch for a movie. I feel like this would be a good short film. You know, it's like guy mauls a couple people to death. But then eventually someone is like, hey, wait a minute. The kid at the end of Old Yeller put Old Yeller down with a shotgun because he had rabies. Why don't I just make like that, I don't know, let's call him Timmy or whatever. Let's make like Timmy and get me a shotgun and put this son of a gun out of his misery, right? That's what we call in showbiz a plot hole. But with that being said, I would be terrified of Cujo in reality. Listen, I used to take the bus at a station, at a stop that was right next to the largest, scariest-ass dog I've ever seen in my entire life. It was life or death every single time I went to school or work, or I don't remember exactly what I was up to. Like, that dog looked like Cujo, but, like, without like the spewing pus or whatever coming out of his face. But everything else, like, this was the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. It's gotta be one of the biggest dogs in the world. It's like Marmaduke and then this son of a bitch. But this guy was always off its leash, just running around the front yard or whatever, right? And the fence, it was just a regular fence. Maybe even, it seemed a little short even for me to call it a regular fence. I'm like, you're going the wrong way, bud. The homeowners, there's so much bullshit going on in Toronto. I'm not even going to get into it, but I'm like, there's things you can probably just, you know, let it be and don't worry about it. But this, where are these jabroni inspectors? You see a dog that big, the homeowners need to be required to have, like, prison fences, right? They need to have the same shit that are keeping inmates who are getting their asses defiled by another man, so therefore they have a real penchant for trying to escape. They need to have one of those fences for this dog, like a 15-footer with barbed wire at the top. Like, this was one scary-ass dog, man. Like, every single time I went there, it would go, like, crazy. It'd, like, start barking and, like, running towards me. And this rickety-ass fence somehow held it in. The owners did not care. I don't even need to describe them. You can imagine what they look like, what type of person they were to operate like this. Not give a shit, not be like, hey, Cujo, back in the house. Stop scaring the nice Asian boy there. None of that, you know, none of that. No respect for other people. Man, I hope that dog killed its owner. I really do. And if it becomes Cujo, then it becomes Cujo. It's a fair price to pay. And then they also did a dance to Arachnophobia. Arachnophobia, like, again, that is, I didn't know that it was a horror movie, but I can see why it would be. That movie, again, I don't know what the hell was wrong with me as a kid. I used to just watch these movies over and over and over again, and my parents never ever stopped me. Are you saying my mother doesn't love me? But my God, for years I was afraid of spiders because of arachnophobia. I was afraid to turn on the lamp because of arachnophobia. Like, now I don't care. Like, now if a venomous spider bit me, I'm like, well, A, I hope I turn into Spider-Man. Or B, I hope this kills me real fast. This better not be, oh, you lost your hand, but we saved the rest of you. I'm like, I'm going to be Hook. You know how gay that is? They're like, well, you could just, like, put that hook on and not put on the pirate suit and mascara. I'm like, listen, none of this crazy talk, all right, Doc? You already made a very poor decision today by rescuing my life. Listen, when you realized I didn't have spider senses, you should have made the executive decision to let me go. But here we are. What do you mean, don't put on the pirate suit and the mascara? I have the goddamn hook. I'm going to make the most of it. They're like, well, you could put on like a raincoat and be the guy from I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'm like, listen, I know I'm not tough enough to pull that off. I put on a raincoat. I'm going to look like Paddington Bear with a hook for a hand. I mean, now that I think of it, the scariest horror movies are the ones that are, like, feasible. You know, I don't know, are vampires real? Even if they are, they're, you know, probably nothing like what they are in the movie. They're sure as hell not sparkling and stuff like Twilight. And they sure as hell ain't garnering the interest of Nina Dobrev. Listen, the Salvatore brothers were hunks with a big house, all right? The vampirism had nothing to do with it. And I don't know, I certainly hope there is nothing like a Freddy Krueger in reality, because I'd be screwed. He can only get you in your dreams, meaning when you go to sleep. I'm asleep like half the day. Now that I don't have a job, I think my body's still recouping or whatever, I'm asleep and I'm tired all the time. Even when I'm not asleep, I want to be asleep. This dude, let's say I escape him a few times, he has basically unlimited opportunities to come and get the job done. Most of his victims is like, oh, he got away, he got away. I'm gonna be back like 14 to 18 hours from now, you'll see. With me, it's like, oh, I'll be back in like 3 hours. And then after that, probably 2 hours after then. But if I somehow fail then, tops another 4 hours after that, I got another shot at this son of a bitch. This drowsy, sleepy, tired son of a bitch. Yeah, I hope that's not real. I hope vampires aren't real. But you know, spiders are real. You know, rabies is real. Dogs are real. I mean, let me knock on wood, but I'm going to assume that, you know, the likelihood of me running into a magical glowing vampire who treats me like the belle of the ball and sweeps me off my feet, is highly unlikely. But me, like, going to take the bus to go to work and then, like, that same dog killed its owners and, like, caught rabies after fighting a raccoon or something. That's a very plausible situation. With my luck, it's definitely going down before it's all said and done. And before the pandemic, I thought about, not even thought about, like, seriously looked into going to Australia and doing, like, a work visa there. But thankfully, I was a coward and didn't go because had I been there, first of all, there was the forest fire, or like the half the country fire or whatever, right? So there was that. And let's say I'm like, oh, I'm an Australian now, mate. I'm just real tough. I'm just going to suck this up and carry on my day and not come home to Canada after the fire. The pandemic would have screwed me because I'm not a citizen. It's like, oh, well, so can I leave? And if I don't, because I'm not a citizen, y'all gonna let me starve on the street? You guys are Nazis. I'm gonna come back and haunt you in your dreams. I'm sure you're racking your brain all day long trying to figure out which moves to make to keep your precious Australians alive. That must be very taxing on you. Oh, you must be feeling awfully drowsy. I learned this move from an old nemesis of mine. I'll catch you in 2 hours, you son of a bitch! But let's say that didn't kill me. The forest fire and the old Rona. You better believe the country known for the most, like, poisonous snakes, massive crocodiles, herpes-riddled koala bears, and of course, poisonous, deadly, venomous spiders. I'm not a lucky person. You know that the movie Arachnophobia would turn out to be my life. And with my luck, it'd be on the same day that I convinced the Australian Natalie Portman to go out with me. I'd be hopping and skipping my way back to my home. And as I open my door, as I put my hand on the knob there, that's when it happens. A red-ass spider takes a big old bite out of my hand. And also with my luck, the doctor will be like, you know what? That wasn't a radioactive spider. This man's not going to be crawling up the side of a wall. I listened to his podcast the other day. I'm one of the 83. He wants to go. Just let him. And I'm not even kidding around. If I got a date with a girl who looks like Natalie Portman and has an Australian accent, and some doctor decided not to save my life because I wasn't becoming your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, I would come back to haunt his ass. Like, think of the scariest movie you've ever seen, the most messed up horror movie you've ever seen, and that's going to be Child's Play, all right? I don't mean like the Chucky movie. I mean, that would be no big deal. It would seem like Vampire Diaries in comparison to the messed up shit I would do to that doctor. An Australian Natalie Portman who's into me? Oh, vengeance is gonna be a real bitch. All right, that's it. That's the 2021 Spooky and Scary edition of the show. I hope you had yourself a great time. I have myself a riveting time. Until next year.
Try to cut me out, will you? Look into my gaze. You're feeling very sleep. Oh boy, that's never worked so fast on anybody before. He really doesn't have any fight in him, does he? And look at him, he's all tuckered out. Sweet dreams, you little rascal. Greetings. My name is Vladimir von Count. I would love to say that I'm back better than ever, but that would make me a liar. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not against telling a lie here and there. I mean, after all, I am a creature of the night. I've definitely told a few people in my day, yes, I am your stagecoach driver. Oh no, this is just a shortcut. I'm sure you'll see your family again. But what's the point anymore? I used to do it for a meal, but because I've become a vegan these past few years, I just go into the backyard of my large and impressive Transylvanian castle and just pick these things out of the ground. Hooray for turnip. Oh, look, more delicious carrots. Who needs blood when you have beets? I'm as menacing as ever. Ooh, hello there, fair beet. I've come to suck your juice. Careful what you wish for. Immortality sounds great at first, but after making a few hundred kale juices, you might just imagine yourself taking a long stroll in the sun. Now, if I sound defeated, you'll have to forgive me. I've been alive. Well, maybe not alive. I am the living dead, after all. But I've been around a long time. And I have to say wholeheartedly, this is by far the worst time to be alive, or around in my case. Which is very ironic because things are better than ever. I remember a time in history when I wanted a new wardrobe, a new outfit. I literally had to get somebody to make it for me personally. If I was lucky, I might get that outfit in a couple of weeks. But if I wasn't, and they were out of the material, they literally had to ship that from across the ocean, which could take several months. But nowadays, never mind one outfit. You could have 100 different outfits from 100 different stores and manufacturers all awaiting you before you even wake up the next morning at your doorstep. And that is where the problem lies. It's too damn easy now. Throughout this pandemic, people have just gotten fat. People have just been sitting on their asses all day, binging their favorite TV shows and chicken McNuggets. They haven't even had to leave their home to go get those chicken McNuggets. They didn't even have to talk to another person to get those chicken McNuggets. They simply pressed a button and, depending on the competency of the drugged out Uber Eats driver, they could have their food within the next 30 minutes or 3 hours, depending on how good those narcotics were. And if you've kept up with my work, you're fully aware that the Count likes to keep damsels in different districts. Hoes in different area codes, as the kids would say. And there was a particular one. Morgana was her name. And I say was because she is now dead to me. I did not murder her, if that's what you're thinking. Though that would be merciful of me. For Lady Morgana was one of the fairest, if not the fairest of them all pre-pandemic. But since then, fate has been cruel and she has fallen prey to the COVID-50? Oh, if only it were so, if only it was only 50 pounds, we could just stick that oinker on a treadmill and feed her some salads and we'd be in business in a few months. Oh, but unfortunately, fate is a cruel mistress. And the fair Lady Morgana has not just put on one, not two, but 300 pounds. Where there used to be curves, tone, perfection, it has now been replaced with hooves. Oh, what a horrible world we live in. Things are better than ever, yes, but people are at the all-time worst. I've been through a few pandemics, none of them pretty. But the ones in the past, everybody's taking them seriously. Everybody is too busy trying to survive and not die from the plague to really do much of anything else, I gotta say. They certainly weren't taken to the streets to participate in some sort of asinine, backward, stupid protests. Gathering together and not wearing masks that led to this thing being spread like wildfire, killing thousands, if not tens of thousands of people. and they call me a monster. I truly do hope by this time next year, there will be no more people on this planet to speak of. That this coronavirus kills them all. Why do I care? I'm a vegan now. I no longer need the swine. And I'm an immortal. I've been preparing for a day when it's just me, all by my lonesome, for an awful long time now. I'm not that lucky. I'm sure we'll talk again next year. Ta-ta for now.